Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Janae Pierre, filling in for Melissa Harris-Perry. Studies show that 5% of all people incarcerated are behind bars because of a wrongful conviction. Melissa spoke with Maggie Freeling, the host of the podcast Wrongful Convictions, about her upcoming season. Season 2 narrows in on innocent women who have been incarcerated for years because of a crime they did not commit. Let's listen in on that interview.
Your show is titled Wrongful Convictions, but maybe explain a bit to our Takeaway family, what is a wrongful conviction?
Somebody who has been charged and convicted of a crime they did not commit. In a lot of the cases we have, there truly is no evidence. And oftentimes we do see egregious behavior from prosecutors and police, oftentimes manufacturing evidence to get a conviction. And that's a really scary thing because I see that in a lot of my cases.
How big is this problem?
This is a huge problem. Wrongful convictions are everywhere and they happen all the time. Fortunately, I think that us as a public, we are getting smarter. We're learning about these things. We don't trust everything that comes from authorities, police, and prosecutors all the time. So I like to think we have less wrongful convictions happening now, but we are spending a lot of time correcting ones from the past.
Talk to me about what is new in the focus for this season.
So this season, we are focusing much more on women than last season. This season, we actually have at least 9 women on the podcast out of 15. So we're still working on a 10th one, but that's a lot of cases of women I'm trying to shine a light on.
Is there something different in what we hear and learn about the cases of women who are wrongfully convicted versus men?
Yeah, Melissa, as you probably know, sexism and bigotry is rampant. So when a woman is in court, oftentimes with a lot of these cases, she can be convicted just based on the way she's acting. She's not crying enough or she's crying too much. I have a case of a woman, Patty Pruitt.
I'm an old lady. I'm 72. I've been in prison way too long. I'm the oldest of my siblings and I'm the only one alive. I was just looking out the window and there's a buzzard out there circling. And I was wondering if he's circling because I'm getting ready to die. I'm Patty Pruitt, and I'm a prisoner in Missouri and have been for nearly 36 years. I did not kill my husband.
Her only chance right now is clemency. There was no evidence pointing to her at all. In fact, there was evidence pointing away from her. But Patty was literally convicted based on the fact that she had true crime novels around her house. You know, that was a big point in court, that this woman is reading all of these crime novels, so she must have murdered her husband. Like, I think I just heard you go, what? It's yeah. It's really shocking that that happens, but it does.
You know, it's interesting. I'm surprised at myself for being surprised in some ways. My mother, who is now in her late 70s, but as a graduate student in the 1970s, actually did her master's thesis and was working on dissertation work around women and girls in the system of criminal justice. And, you know, I suppose that, you know, at least one hypothesis could be that, you know, because we think to protect women and girls, that perhaps they get less harsh sentences, are less likely to be found guilty. But in fact, what she found, again, this is now 50 years ago, was that just for defying expectations of femininity, for doing things like running away or talking back, that these girls and women often faced much harsher sentencing. And I hear you saying this may even be affecting wrongful convictions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I just feel like that's truly just sexism. Your mother's been doing this work since the 70s, and it's shocking we're still here, honestly. So, you know, we're talking about intersections. 80% of women who are in prisons and jails are mothers. They're mothers. So we're talking about, you know, when a woman goes to prison, not even a wrongful conviction, you are breaking up a family at that point. I've been covering lately women who give birth in prison. Where does that child go? The child gets taken away from the mother virtually immediately. They get no bonding time together. And then if there's not able family members to take care of the child, they go to foster care. They get put up for adoption. I have a woman who lost two of her children to closed adoptions because she was wrongfully incarcerated.
When I lost my kids, I was at a fork. I could either give up on life, on everything, or I could fight.
This woman commit no crime and lost her two babies for her whole life.
And they, of course, lost their mother.
They lost their mother.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with us. There's more Takeaway right after this.
When you talk about the large percentage of women who are incarcerated, whether wrongfully convicted or not, who are mothers, we also know there's an enormous proportion of girls and women who are incarcerated or under the state who are survivors of physical and sexual abuse. Have you seen that showing up in any of these stories?
Yeah, multiple. This season, I have two of them. Two women, similar cases in the fact that they grew up being sexually abused by family members, had really difficult childhoods, of course, because of that. The trauma led them to, you know, drugs and alcohol addiction. And then it just spirals. You know, they did not commit these crimes, but because of their trauma and the way they grew up, they sought out relationships with men that were not healthy. And they were in a position where these wrongful convictions happened.
I was a foster child and I was trafficked when I was 15. My trafficker forced me to participate in a robbery that resulted in a death. And as a result of that, they made me his co-defendant in a murder charge. My name is Alicia Burns. They gave me 10 to life in prison. I served a total of 16 years.
So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
I hear you saying it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Talk to me about how you maintain some sense of equilibrium, maybe even optimism, in the context of covering this really hard topic.
So really, this is my life. You know, even when I'm not writing a script, I take 4 or 5 prison calls a day, just folks I've been in touch with. Some of these people have nobody. So in terms of, you know, separating and having a work-life balance, doesn't really exist. But you mentioned optimism, and I think that's how I'm able to keep going and sustain the work, because these people spend decades in prison and they come out ready to fight. They are fighters and they are strong and they're resilient, and that is so inspiring.
Do you have a takeaway that you want folks who are listening to this season to really take away with them?
I want people to have compassion. And that's what I really try to do with my season of Wrongful Conviction, or my series Wrongful Conviction, is humanize all these people. And I think once we all start to understand each other and understand, you know, doesn't matter what I look like or where I come from, we're all people at the end of the day. And when you get put in that prison cell, we're all the same. And so we do calls to action at the end of each episode so people know what they can do if they feel inspired.
Maggie Freeling is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and host of Wrongful Convictions. Maggie, thanks again for taking the time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.